Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us yet again. Man, three episodes in a row. I keep saying, I don't know when the next one's going to be. And this one's special. We brought back an old friend to the show. Steven Rue is here. Steven, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a blast from the past.
And thank you for joining us. In addition, thank you for joining us, Ty Guy Travis. Travis, it's good to have you again.
McClunky. Happy to be here as always.
It's great to have you. There were some significant updates on the TWAB that we're going to be discussing, or the TWID. They changed it. I forgot. They're on sunsetting all the old weapons, which is, wow, what a big update. Power changes. There's some very significant changes to how they're handling power, how they're handling your alt character power. I literally went, oh my God. When I read that part of the TWID, and I have a little bit of a PSA, but just those two topics are enough to go over. Just the PSA just off the top is play Iron Banner on the 30th when it comes out, because it's going to be last chance to get the Boar grenade launcher, which you will probably like. Let's talk about the big one. Bungie has made the decision to on sunset weapons. So it's kind of in there. After they talk about how they're not going to, they're adjusting the powers and everything. But anyway, after thoroughly considering the problem space, we came to the decision to remove power limits from all items starting in the final shape. They say, we understand that many old power limited items have been dismantled by this point, and we regret that we do have no recovery mechanism for these. Going forward, we intend to reintroduce sources for most or all of these updated to modern Destiny sandbox standards with added properties such as origin traits and build crafting perks, as we have started to do with the Brave Arsenal in Destiny 2 Into the Light. Into the Light continues to be quite fun. I guess level 50 was banned. Fork there for a little bit. Still a very, very fun mode. How do you feel about this? Steven, let's go to you first. You know, we on sunset you for the show, and I'm curious how you feel about them on sunsetting all these old weapons.
It might be a controversial topic or a controversial opinion, but when they first sunset items way back when, I didn't really have too much of an issue with it, because as a player who plays consistently, in a player that is probably not in the casual bracket, I'd say I'm gonna regrind those guns or regrind new guns anyway. I remember when we had the show, when they first sunsetted, I compared it to the card game Magic the Gathering. There's a format called Standard, and if you play Magic, you'll know every 4 or 5 months the cards in that set get rotated out. And then a bunch of new cards get played into the standard set, and you're not allowed to play with the old cards back. But they do that to keep it fresh, to keep it balanced. And I understood why Bungie was doing it. I can see from the perspective and point of view, if you aren't playing as much as like a grinder would, it piss you off because you're losing your god roll weapons. But now that they're unsunsetting weapons, like they're they said they're going to bring back all the guns. All the guns in the current meta right now are way better than the sunsetted weapons. They've already butchered Master of Arms on Recluse and things like that. So it's not, I don't know. To me, I was just like, okay, that's cool, but it's not really that big of a deal. The only, I'm sure we're going to talk about this later, but the only weapon, I can only think of one weapon that would make some kind of relevance, and it's in PvP. And honestly, who's playing PvP nowadays?
Which one?
It's the Mindbender's Ambition shotgun with quick draw and slide shot.
That's
and,
right.
And all that. Yeah, you can't get that now. So that's going to be really good. But like I said, who's playing PvP?
Travis, yeah. What are your thoughts on it? I've long since deleted most of my gear. I have a few that I saved from the Black Armory because I'm just like, you needed these to do one of the puzzles, and I never want to be like left hanging where I need a Black Armory weapon. I saved my Last Wish pulse rifle just for a keepsake. Did you save anything, or have you been a hoarder, or did you move on and delete them a long time ago?
I am not a sentimental person at all in life and in games. And so, yeah, I deleted my vault. Probably has like 200 guns at most in it. Like my vault, I don't even use all my vault space. I just get rid of the stuff that doesn't matter anymore. And I'm kind of similar to Steven in that, you know, to me, the prospect of sunsetting weapons wasn't really that bad of an idea to me, because the idea that they could then, you know, to Steven's point, talking about magic, the beauty of having the standard mode in Magic is that they can introduce experimental and weirder cards. And if they don't work out, it's not that big of a deal because they get rotated out eventually anyway, right? Or they can ban certain cards, or in Bungie's case, they can just nerf stuff. So I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I thought that the way that they implemented sunsetting ended up being a disaster, which is they basically just reintroduced a bunch of old weapons and didn't introduce enough new ones soon enough. And so it kind of just like starved the sandbox a little bit, and I totally understand why they reversed that. Apparently they didn't think that they could actually keep up with creating as many new items as they would need to make sunsetting real. So I understand why they reversed it. This reversing of the old sunsetting, which is like a reversal on top of a reversal, is very bizarre. To Steven's point, pretty much all of those weapons have been eclipsed by more powerful stuff anyway, which is my guess on why they're doing this, right? It's just something that is probably healthy for the game, that everything has relevant power and they can get rid of those old rules. And also because it's not really a threat to them, because none of those guns are that relevant anyway. And also the whole reason that they started sunsetting was because they were worried about power creep. And as we learned, power creep happened anyway.
Yeah.
Because players just expected more powerful things. They weren't going to grind unless they could find a more powerful version of what they had. And so, you know, power creep kind of happened regardless. And I think that's probably why they're doing this. So it's a little odd. I will say my main thing is that now I think Bungie's lost a lot of credibility when they tell us like, hey, don't worry, you can delete this item in the future, just because they did say to everyone, they reassured so many times, like, no, these are gone for good, you can get rid of them. And now they're like, maybe you kept it, you know, and if not, we're going to reintroduce ways for you to grind those again, which is pretty painful. But yeah, it is funny to see all the paranoid folks that were holding on to their weapons all these years finally get rewarded. That is crazy. And there you go.
Datto was trending because he told everybody to delete their stuff. And they were giving him a hard time about that. I thought it was sort of funny.
Because he listened to Bungie. I mean, if I were Datto, I would have said the same thing. And yeah, he had a series for a while where he was going to different content creators and helping them delete their vaults. And so now I think he's probably going to hear from people's lawyers. I don't know. They got to...
Absolutely. I'm pretty indifferent about it. I feel like, to both of your points, the game's meta has really moved on since a lot of those weapons. Like, I've even seen God Roll, like Kindled Orchids, that people held on to for a long time. That, like, there's so many better roles now that you can get, and there's so many new perks that have been introduced, and the perks have been nerfed and changed and altered to the point where I don't really think there's anything off the top of my head that would be a must have that, like, oh, you needed to have like the fusion loaded whatever back in the day. Like, now we have a perk that auto reloads all of your guns, deconstruct, right? That everybody's been talking about, how hitting like multiple targets just refills your weapon. So there's just way better options in terms of what's available in the sandbox that I don't think anything from the original game or any of the things that people were grinding from back in the day necessarily has a negative impact to anything about the game. And I would actually argue the one concern that I do have, and I'm curious how you feel about this. How do you feel about the fact that we're going to be regrinding weapons for the second or third time at this point? That's very fatiguing. And the big problem that I see with Destiny is there has been no reason for me to change my loadout for a very long time, and I'm fine with that. I've played 2,000 hours of the game. I don't really have tons of stuff to chase unless I'm super min-maxing at this point. And the fact that they're reintroducing stuff that I already have, like I already have the funnel web god roll, so I don't need to grind that anymore, and I feel content with that. How do you feel about the weapon grind, rechasing old stuff? Like, do you have enough gear that you're sort of content with what you have? Travis, I'll start with you maybe.
Yeah, it's actually even worse than you're stating it, because it's not that we're having to regrind for old weapons. It's that only those of us who listened to Bungie and deleted our vaults are having to do that. So it's like, it's actually kind of even worse. I hate it. I hate regrinding for old stuff. To me, you know, there's not really any activities in Destiny that are so hard that I feel like I absolutely need the god roll of the most recent season of weapons or whatever. I kind of have archetypes that are good enough that I've just gotten over mm-hmm. the years from playing Destiny, and I'll have those. Right. For me, you know, grinding hung jury for, I think, the fifth time in Destiny history, it has not been a good feeling with the current onslaught of activity. And I don't think regrinding to get these weapons is going to feel particularly good either. I don't think it feels good, especially because it's only really impacting those who were, I think, reasonable and deleted their stuff. It's really only the unreasonable people that don't have to grind, which doesn't feel great. But, you know, it's whatever. I guess they got to do it.
Steven, have you remained active? Did you lapse at all with Destiny like I did? I'm sort of curious, where are you at with the grindiness of the game?
Yeah, I've definitely lapsed slightly to the point where I used to try to knock out the weekly story in a season on reset and things like that. But I'm at the point now where on the big DLCs like Witch Queen, Lightfall, I'm a super, super big player. But for the seasons like Season of the Wish, what I've been doing now is I wait until the entire season has already panned out, and then I'll hop on. I won't play at all, and then I'll hop on and I'll just like knock out the entire season line at once. So that it just feels less.
That's what I do. Yeah.
Yeah, it just feels way less grindy.
And one day.
It's such a better experience.
Like a week. Yeah, it is a better experience, and you get to see the story at like one go. Because like I remember when I was keeping up with it, I'd forget what would happen in a cutscene like 2 weeks beforehand. So you're kind of lost in the sauce. But I want to touch on how it feels to regrind old weapons. I'm in the same boat as Travis. I think it sucks. And to be honest, including the Brave weapons, there's not too much that's like jumping out at me. Obviously, besides like I obviously want like auto loading recom, mountaintop, and things like that. But the weapons that do feel bad that you have to regrind are like the raid weapons, specifically like Apex Predator, the rocket launcher from Last Wish. I ran Last Wish so many times when it first came out, and then when they reintroduced it, and Apex Predator has like a recombination bait and switch role that you like pretty much have to get if you're trying to like do a day one raid for damage checks. So that was annoying. I was on a what's that first encounter called?
Shirochi? Do you remember?
Oh, which raid?
No.
Shirochi's the only encounter, right?
Not Shirochi, the one before Shirochi.
Kali.
Kali, yeah. There was Kali, like a people were just farming Kali over and over again. I think I was in there for like a week trying to get red frame Apex Predator so I can just craft it. Yeah, and that did not feel good at all.
Wow.
Yeah. I agree with you. And I lapsed for like a year because like there's like one hand cannon that came out that people are grinding from one of the dungeons I think it's a sidearm because it sends out the little strand guys. Yeah, that one. And besides that, there hasn't been a ton that you needed to sign on and grind for. There was no like, not even the exotic, maybe the sidearm, like sidearms were really hot for a while. Besides the sidearm, there just has not been like the weapon that you need to get. And that's a problem that Bungie, I think, is going to have to contend with. Sure, you can bring back the old gear that we all loved and get some players back for nostalgia's sake, but a lot of people are fatigued by that, or they already have roles that they're happy with. So I think the perk refresh does help a bit, but at the same time, it's not really a fun aspect to the game. I think people, when Final Shape comes out, are going to be really interested in things like the new cloaks and marks and bonds that you'll be able to chase that combine two exotic perks, and how the new strand common, the new builds. I think that's going to be more than the weapons of the Final Shape, but time will tell. One thing that has been really significant, and I was glad they detailed this, that there's a lot going on with power in the game coming with Final Shape, and Fireteam power is something that they covered off here. So here what you're looking at, basically to explain it, you have a 2000 power player, a 1950 and a 1950, and you can see from the 1950 player's perspective, they have been brought up to 1995 so that they can take on the expert level Nightfall. I think this is a very welcome change. It means like players like myself who are either coming back or still haven't managed to grind to whatever the new power level ends up being are able to still participate in activities. It's like, look, I know how to do Nightfalls. I've done them. They're probably one of my favorite activities. I really enjoy Nightfalls, and I really enjoy Strikes actually lately because they're sort of chill. You can crank through them in like 10 minutes. My least favorite activities are like PvP, where this would not be impacted at all because power level would be disabled. And that's one facet of the power level change. In addition to that, we also found out that the power changes are significant. We have a new power floor. I'll just bring that up really quick because this is also of note. There's a new power floor that we need to discuss. Basically, your power floor is 1900. The soft cap is 1940. The powerful cap is 1990. And the pinnacle cap is 2000. Nice round number to end the light and darkness saga for Destiny. And if you complete the legendary campaign, of course, you're brought right up to 1960, 20 into the powerful band, giving you a head start towards getting raid ready for contest mode, which is 1965 power. So you're only five away if you basically beat the campaign on that difficulty level. I really like this. The one thing, sorry to get through all the updates for the viewers, and I'll get to the panel here in just a second, but
as a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I literally gasped out loud when they talked about account-wide power. We're lowering the barrier to entry to play multiple classes by introducing account-wide power. Starting in the final shape, the gear rewards you earn on any character will drop with a power level relative to the highest power character on your account. Level up the power of your hunter, like Destin would, and then you can switch over to your Titan or Warlock. The gear rewards you earn will be around your hunter's level. So now you're not talking about having to grind from 1600 or 1900 with the new power bands. You can just start playing on your alt characters and you don't have like a catch-up mechanic or anything like that. This is an incredibly welcome change in my opinion, because as somebody that likes to just do one character, I don't want to like get super grindy with the alts. I do wonder if that has a negative impact on their overall overall player retention metrics, but it's better from a gameplay perspective. So I am stoked about it. I'm curious, Travis, Steven, I went to Travis first last time. So how do you feel about just the power grind in general, and what are you thinking about these adjustments, a win or a loss?
I think overall it's a major, major win. They should have added that account-wide power thing in Destiny 1.
Oh yeah,
it was so annoying. I don't know if you guys remember, but starting on the one character that you don't want to play, and then going to the second character, and then ending with a character that you do main, in order to just have that be the
highest. Oh, that's right.
Light, yeah, because you want to like knock out the pinnacles on like the character you don't play, and then that grind was terrible. I mean we did it every big Red. DLC, but yeah, it was a terrible grind. So I'm really glad that they introduced this. I'm a little curious as to what they mean by around, because they say around the power of
probably like, well, they talked a little bit about how the drops are going to work. So if you pull it out of the vault, it's -5. If you get it from a vendor, there's also vendor changes that I forgot to mention. The drops you get from vendor will be like -3. So they're a little bit more compelling when you actually go to your vendor. I have to imagine it's like that. They did not specify, so I'm just putting on my theory hat.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think it's huge. I'm also glad that the day one contest power is 1965, which is only 5 higher than what you would get if you complete the campaign on legendary. So it doesn't seem like the grind's going to be too crazy for day one. Another thing that I've never liked the power that is included in the artifact. I've never been a big fan of that, so it's kind of curious to see that they're making grandmasters and people who like solo dungeons. It's going to be easier for them because, as far as I remember reading, they're lowering they're keeping the grandmaster difficulty at a certain level, but then you can grind the artifact to +5, so you're closer to the enemies and that. And that activity, I thought that was a little interesting, but yeah, I've never liked the whole artifact grinding thing. People just AFK and in places and set up a macro to grind up artifact power anyway artificially. So I don't know. I wish they got rid of that too, but everything else has been like a huge resounding W.
I'm not sure about the whole artifact power thing. I think the artifact power is really stupid personally. Because what people do is you just farm bounties, and the most optimized way to do that was like grinding lost sectors. At least it was back in, I don't know, a few expansions ago. But I don't find that super fun. I don't find that to be a compelling gameplay loop. And I think there's better ways to... They need to do something with the artifact and how you gain that power, because right now it's really just dull. You know, it's like, oh, so I need to farm bounties? Like, that's your grand design for how I power up my guardian to be able to do grandmasters. I don't think that's interesting. Travis, what are your thoughts on just power grinding in general?
Well, I'll do you one better. Not only is the artifact power stupid, but power as a concept is stupid. It has always set artificial barriers that just force you to grind for no reason and locks players out of being able to play with their friends and do certain activities. It's the number one reason why it's so hard to get people into Destiny, is they like the gameplay, but oh, I can't do any of the activities because I have to do this and that and unlock whatever. And I think that the game would probably be a lot better if it was purely based on loot. The artifact could be all about upgrading mods that you get for the season that you can apply to your weapons and armor. The loot is already kind of there as a gatekeeper as of sorts, a thing to shoot for. And it doesn't really make sense to me that certain players have an advantage because they've acquired all of these infusion materials that they can easily make weapons, higher power, and that sort of thing. So I think they should get rid of power as a concept, and I think that they should get rid of infusion as a concept, because that's just an unnecessary grind that I've never really liked. I will say I think the changes they've made to the power system we've got are overwhelmingly good. I love the cross character thing. I like that it's apparently not going to be as much of a grind as we thought, which maybe explains the 3-day gap between the campaign coming out and the raid, is that, you know, it's going to be a lot easier to get there for people who want to play it. So yeah, I think there's some good signs in this, but yeah, I've just never been a fan of power, man. I think it just kind of gets in the way of trying to play a shooter with your friends, you know?
Yeah, I do like the idea of gaining power, like, or having XP that you need to level up, and that feeling of, oh, I can take on this harder challenge now. So I do like that. I think that in some cases, it's a little silly. Like, it's like too much. Like, Grandmaster, the only way I can do a Grandmaster is by leveling up the artifact, which is not interesting or compelling. So my big piece of feedback for Destiny 2 would be like, you have to figure out those harder activities and that grind, because the way that you level it up is by doing boring stuff. And that is not good gameplay design or a good gameplay loop from a player perspective. Oh, stack a bunch of bounties and go farm a lost sector until your eyes bleed so that you can do the Grandmaster. Like, how is that the loop for players?
I mean, isn't that,
and don't forget to turn in your bounties in the tower so you get the XP buff, and make sure you have XP buff on your ghost so that you can like get more from the bounties that you're grinding until your eyes bleed. Like, none of that is fun or compelling.
That's the same as true for like all power, right? Like, doing your weekly rituals, like you got to do 3 strikes with the same subclass, and then you got to play 3 rounds of Gambit, and you got to do 3 Crucible matches. Like, I don't think that
you can do whatever now, right?
Yeah, they made it a lot simpler. You can do whatever you want, which I think is cool. But still, it does strike me as like an artificial barrier that is there mostly to like keep people who want to participate engaged and logging on every week and that sort of thing.
That was one of the best quality of life changes they've ever done. I forgot when it was implemented, but you remember when every like little season came out, they would raise the power by like 10 or whatever.
And yeah,
the
only way
you can get, the only way you can do like get to max power was doing all those pinnacle activities. It was so boring. So when they changed
and
it,
you needed the drop in the specific slot, like they've made improvements there, but it was so it's tedious. It's not like fun.
It was terrible. But the fact that we've been at 18-10 for a couple seasons now has been nice. Like, you don't have to worry about that at all. And then honestly, I guess it's irrelevant now, but my biggest gripe was like getting to max power, but then the whole infusion thing, like I have like 300 weapons or whatever, and I want all of them to be 1810, but I have to get 1810 things to infuse. They should just like automatically default to 1810 after you're maxed out. I don't know.
Or like as you level, they should come up with you. Like the fact that I have to buy infusion cores, and then I have to use the infusion cores to level up. Like it's just such a silly system.
It must be that just because it gives them things to give you in the season pass, right? Like you get those infusion bricks levels, right?
I think the whole system sort of needs a just talking it out with you guys. It's very clear that the system is sort of dated and it needs work. I don't know how you would like it needs a total revamp. Because
Destiny 3. That's how you do it.
Well, there is that rumor that we talked about last week.
Destiny 3.
Yeah.
Well, I think I was not on team Destiny 3 is going to happen for sure. But when they announced that they're unsunsetting old weapons, that has now made me like, all right, it's happening. Because there's no way they rip the Band-Aid off and say screw it as much as they're saying it now. So,
yeah. I am curious where they're going next. I mean, Sony is not going to let them stop making Destiny. It's their biggest cash cow. It's like what's keeping the studio up. Yeah. Any other thoughts about power? I do want to just give Bungie credit on one thing, account-wide power. Right. Yes. So, like, at least they've addressed that challenge about leveling up your alt characters. And the fact that 2,000 is the number... I think that's the end of Destiny 2. We ended at 2000 and call it a day.
let's just hope they keep account-wide power for Destiny 3.
Yeah. One thing we didn't really cover off on Travis and Steven, we didn't really talk about how the episodes, like the first one is coming out the week after right after the raid is beaten. I can't remember the specific timing, but it's very shortly after the final shape launches. I like that a lot. And I imagine episodes 2 and 3 won't be that far apart. Do you like that they're reducing that wait to conclude the story truly for this? I know you said you were because you're on the review, Travis, but what do you think about the episode strategy?
I don't think it's going to be as quick as you're thinking for episode 2 and 3, because they said the strategy was basically to make episodes beefier and more content full, but also have longer periods of time so that they can make the content a little better. I think the episode strategy is a really, really good idea. Because I think it probably feels better to just like take a little bit of a Destiny break and then come back when there's like substantial content. And to Steven's point, he's sort of a player who has a hard time getting through the seasons because he really prefers the big expansions. And if they can make episodes feel a little bit closer to expansions, a little more substantial, I think that's huge. But the other reason I like episodes is because it seems like their strategy is switching away from trying to do an annual release every year, which I think is necessary. I mean, we kind of saw what happened with Lightfall when you really try to force out like an expansion every single year. And so I think it could be good if they just have this standing model of like, we come out with episodes, the episodes aren't tied to a 3-month cycle. They just kind of come out when they're ready. And then the expansions are no longer annual. They come out when they're ready. And I think that will do wonders to the quality of Destiny and the online reputation of like how fun Destiny is with each of its expansions. Even if the trade-off is that maybe people take breaks from Destiny and their, you know, daily engagement sign-on numbers aren't as good. So I think it could be a really good move for the health of Destiny. And I'm excited. I mean, I don't think season 1 is going to be included in my review because my review is about the Final Shape expansion. But I am excited to just like have that waiting in the wings right after we're done with The Witness. So that could be really cool.
Steven, what do you think?
I agree with Travis. If it's beefier content, but it's spaced out, I'm all for it. People are going to drop off anyway. Like, I might quote or correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe when Lightfall came, the numbers were like insane, right? And then they dropped off. They dropped off. Well, that might have been because the expansion wasn't as good as people were expecting. But like,
exactly.
People are going to show up for the big ones. They might not now because they feel like they got burned, but they're going to show up for the big ones. I don't know. This is kind of on topic, but off topic. Have you seen that clip of when they were first talking about episodes? I forgot who it was, but it was like a content creator, and they were interviewing with Bungie on the Bungie Twitch channel, and they were asking the question about what happens after the three episodes, and the person who was working at Bungie just like looked shell-shocked, like he had no answer, and then Joe had to step in, and then people were basically analyzing that as, oh crap, like Destiny 3 is coming out after these episodes. So I don't know if it's like, if it's beefier content on each episode and they lead up to what Destiny 3 is going to be, if Destiny 3 ever comes out, I'm all for it.
The last thing that I had on our runner show today was just a real quick PSA. This will be your last chance to earn rewards in Iron Banner. They called it out in the TWID. Attention Guardians, Valis Forge, formerly Iron Lord Saladin, will be back in the tower on April 30th for one final Iron Banner week before the final shape arrives. He is on better terms with Lord Shax lately. Check out the lore on your Brave Arsenal pieces. If you are looking for Tusk of the Boar, you should definitely farm that one, in my opinion, if you don't have it yet. Or the multi-mock CCX, that one's sort of so-so if you have like a Funnel Web or a Recluse and with a good roll. Now is your moment. And if you don't get them the last time, good news, we increased the drop rates for players that have not yet acquired them. So shouldn't be too grindy, and it's the last time Iron Banner is going to be here, so enjoy it for now, I guess. Do you have the boar, Travis, Steven?
Yeah,
I do. Yeah.
Roll. I don't.
I got all the rolls. I got all the rolls I wanted.
I have not touched Iron Banner since they made it like the new way. I just had no interest in that. I loved Iron Banner how it was, and they've just changed it, and I'll have to sign on and see what it's all about. That is it for our episode. Any final thoughts, Steven?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, Destin, if you miss Iron Banner, don't worry. They'll reissue a Strand Wayframe grenade launcher eventually.
I cannot wait. I'm going to get right on that, Steven. 100%. Right now, I'm going to do it right.
They're reissuing everything. Everything they sunset is coming back, Destin, including Cade 6. So you don't have to wait too long. It will unsunset everything.
Well, I think it's time to end the episode on that note. We'll sunset this episode and we'll bring it back for the next one. I don't know when the next one's going to be for real this time, but these TWIDs have been pretty compelling. There's been like something pretty exciting every week, so we've been weekly, but still no promises. All right, we're going to get out of here. Steven, don't forget the point. We're going to do the point at the end, okay? We're going to get out of here, but until next time, everybody... Guardians out.
Guardians out.
Oh, that was so bad. Guardians out.
I'm Essie, one of the hosts of Bitches on Comics, the most welcoming place for LGBTQ+ folks and women to chat comics, fiction, and pop culture. Bitches are both wanted and encouraged on our podcast. We speak with amazing guests about the media they've created, critiqued, and loved. And you don't have to just take our word for the great time we're having over here. We've been named a best comic book podcast by several publications, including Book Riot, The Mary Sue, and Comic Book Herald. So tune in and listen to us talk with your faves like Carmen Maria Machado, Amy Chu, Mari Naomi, Anthony Oliveira, and many, many others. Our whole goal is to include more folks in the comic book and pop culture world and to help new readers find comics and speculative books they'll love, with no shade for being new. You can find Bitches on Comics wherever you get your podcasts, and you can learn more at bitchesoncomics.com.